verse 10. That's where we left off last time. And remember that Jacob, now he's left home. His father Isaac, Rebekah, they've sent him now to Rebekah's brother, Uncle Laban, because Esau wants to kill him. And so he's on the run. And remember that what a dysfunctional family we're talking about. You know, Isaac loved Esau. Rebekah loved Jacob. And deception, last time we were together, just tore the whole family apart. Everyone was deceiving one another. And they were trying to obtain the promises that God had already promised. They were trying to achieve them by fleshly works, by deception. You know, just a typical American family, if you will. You know what I mean. And so Jacob is now on his way to Uncle Laban. And what is so sad is that Rebekah, his mom, will never see him again. So let's begin tonight and let's look at all that God is going to do in the life of this young man, because he has to grow up. It says, and now Jacob went out from Beersheba, Genesis 28:10, and went toward Haran. And so he came to a certain place, stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place, put it at his head, lay down in that place to sleep. Anyone here tonight remember the very first time you ever left home? Now, I'm talking, you could have been a 7-year-old, 8-year-old, but that first night away from your own bedroom, away from your mother, away from your father. Well, you know, Jacob is actually 70 years old, okay? And so, but he had never been away from home. Here he is. He's now about 3 days' journey out. He's alone. It's night. He's sleeping out in the wilderness there. And God, in his mercy, is going to do something. He's going to give him the first of 7 revelations, or starting with a vision that we're going to find in his life. Let's look at the vision now, beginning in verse 12. And then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. So this dream, this vision that God was giving him, and the purpose of it was to increase his faith. I find that God's always increasing our faith, don't you? He's always doing something in our hearts, in our lives, to promote us in a sense to where we believe more in him. We trust him more and more daily as the days go by. And so here he's asleep. And that ladder, of course, we know that ladder. If you read the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 51, right in that area, we know that this ladder really is speaking of Jesus, isn't it? There's only one way from earth to heaven. His name is Jesus Christ. He's our Lord, the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's the only way, the only truth, the only life, and no one can come to God the Father except through him. So that ladder is speaking really of God and his incredible grace. And it says, from the vision we turn to the voice. And it says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. And then he says, the land, very important, the land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. So what God promised to Abraham, he is now reaffirmed to Jacob and to Jacob's descendants. And may I say to you again, I say it often, the land belongs to God. Amen? The land belongs to the Jews. No matter what is happening in the Middle East, that land belongs to them. And it says, and look in verse 14 now, and it says, and your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The same promise given to Abraham all the way back in Genesis chapter 12. In other words, through you, Jacob, is going to come the Messiah. The seed is going to come through you. And behold, look at the promises of God. Behold, I'm with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Did you notice that there was not one if in this scripture? Amen? In other words, it's an unconditional promise upon God's unconditional grace. And we should take special note of what God has said. It says, look what he said, I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Did you notice something? You know, was Jacob a supplanter? Was Jacob a deceiver? Were you here last week? Jacob was a deceiver, wasn't he? I'm going to ask you a question. Did God call him a deceiver? Did he? No, he didn't. Wait a minute. Did God say, "Hello, deceiver, I'm getting ready to make a bunch of promises to you"? No, he didn't say that. Did he mention anything about what he and Rebekah, his mama, did? No, not a word. God says, "Jacob, it's time to grow up. I'm real." He says, "I want you to live on my promises, not to live on your past." Oh, it's so easy to look back and be discouraged, isn't it? God didn't come to him and beat him up. He said, "Listen, I am making a covenant with you." He said, "I'm going to offer you divine presence, divine protection, divine preservation. I'm going to keep all those things. I'm going to give them to you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to keep you, and I'll bring you back to this place." You know, the Bible says in Numbers 23:19 that God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Everything God said about Jacob, he's going to bring to pass. And everything that God has said in the Bible about us, the believer, the Christian, if you really believe in God, if you're really born again, can I tell you what? What he has said about us is going to happen. Amen? Oh, that's so true. Listen, we have his word. Do we have his presence? Yes. Do we have his protection? Absolutely. What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 28:20? He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." He's with you tonight. He was with you last night. He was with you last year. And if the rapture doesn't occur tonight or tomorrow, he'll be with you next week. Amen? See, we have his presence always. Every dark moment, everything that we experience in this life, no matter what it may be, he's here. He's with us. I tell you, I am so thankful that I know that God is with me. And do you know what? He was with Jacob, who was messed up and still going to grow up. And you know what? He's with you and me, and we're still under construction too. So you see, when God promises us something, he didn't put an if there. He said, "I'm going to be with you." You know, Jesus said in Matthew 10:29, he says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will?" Sparrows. Not one of them falls. Literally, it would say, not one of them hops, okay? You know, like, you ever seen little sparrows hop? You've seen that. You know, he says, not one of them falls to the ground. Listen, let me ask you a question. How many sparrows in Fort Worth? How many sparrows in the world? He says, there's not one anywhere at any time that when it falls over, that I'm not aware of it. And you know what Jesus continued to say? He said, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. The hairs on our head, numbered, not counted, numbered. I love that. In other words, that means he knows where each one goes and where each one used to be. He knows all of those things. The Bible tells us that God has inscribed us in the palm of his hand. I think that we are secure tonight. And may I say something else to you? That whenever God appeared to Jacob, it was to give him a plan. A plan. He says, I want you to be a part of my plan. If you are following Jesus, if you've denied yourself tonight, if you've taken up your cross, if you are following him, you're not in your plan anymore. Do you hear me? You know, when you start following the Lord, you say, I hear people say, I want to go into ministry. Okay, I said, are you following the Lord? Well, I need such and such. I said, well, we all need such and such. And it's up to God. It's his plan now. And you may not get what you want. We're a spoiled generation of American people. I have to have such and such to be in the ministry. You don't need anything but God. You understand? You don't need anything but God. And whatever you do need and God sees fit, then he'll give it to you. That's so important because, see, you're on his turf now. You're in his plan, not your plan. God doesn't follow our plans. And that's what he was telling Jacob right here. You know, listen, God has a plan for Jacob. He has a plan for us. Aren't you glad that we're no longer dead in trespasses and sins? but we've been made alive tonight. He's quickened us. Aren't you so glad tonight that we're not being conformed to this world, but we are being transformed by the renewing of our mind? Aren't you glad tonight, like the psalmist has written, it says that he will, not you, not your strength, not your wisdom. It says in Psalm 138:8, he will perfect those things which concerneth you. In other words, he will complete it. Like it says in Philippians 1:6, he who began that good work in you. God called you a good work. He said, he who began that good work in you will finish it, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, church, how can we not be excited? Well, I'm going through something. Well, God's going through it with you. And he's the one that's going to get you out of what you're going through. But you have to trust him. You have to rely upon him. You have to cling to him. The Bible says to trust God with all of your heart. Not some of it, all of it. Don't lean upon your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all his ways, and he will direct your paths. And that's what you want, and that's what I want. So here is Jacob. He's receiving a revelation from God, and God's saying, you're part of this plan, son. And he goes in verse 16, says, and Jacob, look what he did. Oh, he woke up from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And let me add to scripture, and comma, and God is in every place. Amen? And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Do you remember that first time when you realized that God was real, when you came to Christ? You remember how you felt? Do you remember where you were? It says, and then Jacob, look what happened. He rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put his head on. He set up it as a pillar. And look what he did. He poured oil on top of it, and he called the name of the place House of God, Bethel. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. So the first steps of a changed man, what does he do? He knows that God is real. God is speaking to him, okay? He sets up a memorial, and he says to himself, this will be a special place for me forever. This is where I met God. Do you remember where you met God? Because every one of us, each of us, we have our own Bethel, right? My Bethel was Jacksonville Beach in Florida. That's where I first met the Lord. That's where I first came to him there on the beach. That's my Bethel. I'll never forget where the Lord found me. Will you? Never. Where he became real to me, where he entered my heart. And so Jacob, he is so excited. And so he makes a vow. So we go from a vision to the voice and now a vow. Look at 20. It says, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going, give me bread to eat, clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. Of all that you give me, I will surely give you a tenth. Now listen. This is the first recorded vow in the Bible. Would you say that Jacob had a lot of growing up to do? Because God just promised him everything, and so now Jacob is putting a condition on the promises of God. Now, if you really do this, if you really do that, then, you know, when you bring me back here in peace one day with my family, well, I'm going to give you 10% of everything, which, you know, which is a wonderful thing to do. You should be a tither. But the fact is either he was still part of the scheming nature, was still an old Jacob, okay? Or it could be translated there in verse 20 where it says, if God, that word if could be translated since God, since you're going to do all these things, then I am going to do this and this. So Jacob now is about to get a dose of his own medicine. And he's going to spend 20 years with Uncle Laban, and nobody in this chapel tonight would ever want to work with Uncle Laban, okay? And I'll tell you something. You know, like we learned last week about deception. Remember Galatians 6:7. God is not mocked. Do not be deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen? Now, that is a universal law. It's a universal law from God. And so all the things that he did. Now listen, now he's believing in God for sure. But you know what? Isn't it amazing that what goes around comes around? It's true. I've looked in my own life. I look back and I see the something that I did. And even though I'm forgiven, even though I'm cleansed, boy, did it come back to get me. And I learned from it. I learned that I don't want to sow bad things at all. Amen? I want to do what God says because God's word is true. And so here he is. He's being now, he's going to be disciplined, if you will, chastened by God for the future. So Jacob is now about to enter into training for reigning. Look at chapter 29, verse 1. And so Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. So he traveled now 450 miles away from home, and he's about to enter the same land that Abraham left 150 years earlier, okay? So he journeyed there to the land of the people of the east, and he looked and he saw a well in the field. And behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks. And a large stone was on the well's mouth, and now all the flocks would be gathered there, and they would roll the stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place on the well's mouth. And Jacob said to them, "My brethren, where are you from?" And they said, "Well, we're from Haran." Then he said to them, "Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?" And they said, "We know him." In other words, they really knew him, okay? But Jacob didn't. So he said to them, "Oh, well, is he well?" And they said, "Oh, he's well." And they said, "Look, his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep." And then he said, "Look, it's still high day. It's not time for the cattle to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go and feed them." Now, let me just stop right there. Did you hear what Jacob just said? Look at it again. Verse 7, he's talking to the men. He said, "Look, it's still high day. It's not time for the cattle to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go and feed them." Jacob, you know what? He's like a pushy out-of-state visitor. Isn't that true? No, come on. He's there 5 minutes and he's telling everybody what to do. You know, I mean, it's like somebody comes into the church. I mean, never been here before, been here 5 minutes and start ordering me around. I'm going, "Would you just be here at least 10 minutes before you do that?" Yeah, that's exactly right. And they said, "Well, we cannot until all the flocks are gathered together and they've rolled the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep." And now while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep. She was a shepherdess. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel. Now that would be his cousin, okay? Saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and flexed his muscles, watch this, and rolled the stone away from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Three times it says his mother's brother. And then look what Jacob did, just a typical greeting. Then Jacob kissed Rachel, kissing cousins, all right? Lifted up his voice and started weeping, and Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative and that he was Rebekah's son. So she ran and told her father, and then it came to pass when Laban heard the report about Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him, embraced him, kissed him, and brought him to the house. And so he told Laban all these things. Now listen, I don't want to read into Scripture, but you know, Laban, if you read the whole book of Genesis so you can get ahead, Laban, you know, come on. Listen, I'll tell you, when he heard that his sister's boy is now in town, Remember whenever they came to retrieve Rebekah? Remember? Eleazar, the servant of Abraham or whatever, came. And remember all of the gold and the camels and all the gifts? His eyes lit up like a cash register, man. He was thinking, "Oh, right." I mean, he knows how wealthy his father is. Now, Isaac is wealthy as well. Now, so he said, "Man, you know, this is wonderful." And he just was convinced that he was part of the family. Could look at the next verse. And Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone and my flesh." And Jacob stayed with him a month. Don't you love it when people come to visit? Don't you like it when relatives come and stay for an entire month and they don't do anything but stay? I remember we had some friends, dear friends, and they just have some odd habits and we still love them, but they came to visit for 2 weeks unannounced, and we love them still. But what I never understood was every day they told us what they wanted us to cook them for breakfast. And lunch. And then they told us where they wanted us to take them out for dinner. That was a long 2 weeks. That's exactly what was happening right here. And it says, so then Laban says to Jacob, you know, because you're my relative, should you there serve me for nothing? He says, tell me, what should your wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were delicate. In other words, weak eyes, okay? It could mean that it could mean that she was cowhide, okay? Now, that's odd. No, I'm not. That's one of the Hebrew translations. And don't pick on me. I do my homework. And it also could mean, I thought maybe it, since they were delicate, it might mean that her eyes were blue, like my eyes. They're blue and they're delicate eyes. And not dark brown eyes like the ladies of Middle Eastern descent. And so Rachel, remember her name means ewe, like a little ewe lamb or whatever. But Rachel was, she was beautiful of form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel. And so he said to Laban, he said, you know what? I'll serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. 7 years, men. That's what you did, didn't you? 7 years. You know, he didn't have any money. He was a fugitive, and Laban probably didn't know he was a fugitive because Esau wanted to kill him, so he was on the run. And he says, you know what? I don't have any money, and you know it was customary to offer something. So what he said was, I'll work 7 years. And you know, you work 7 years, and then after you marry, you're going to work the rest of your life. So, you know, you work 7 years, and Laban said, it's better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Now look what he says, stay with me. And so Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. You remember that Jacob and Esau. Esau, you know, hairy. He was a hairy man. They were twins, remember, but he was all hairy. Jacob was a smooth skin man, okay? Listen to me. That's what love can do to a guy. I'm going to work 7 years, and I'll tell you what, I'll promise you that Laban worked him to death. And without a shadow of a doubt. But it only felt like just a few days because he was in love. Let's put it in perspective. Let's say that Jacob lived right now and he wanted to marry. I'm going to work for Rachel. So it's 2012 plus 7 would be 2019. Hello. Think about that for a minute. And then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled. In other words, those 7 years were gone. And he said, I want to go into her. And Laban gathered together, watch this now, all the men of the place, made a feast. In other words, old Laban, he wanted some witnesses here before he did his deceiving. He says, and it came to pass in the evening, in other words, when it was dark, that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob. And he went into her. And Laban gave his maid Zilpha to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that you've done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me? What comes around goes around. You remember Jacob pretended to be what? The firstborn? Yes. And now he's deceived into marrying the firstborn. You see how God is training this guy? And so all of a sudden, you know, this deceiver gives him an answer. And Laban said, well, hey, it must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. In other words, I assume that you really understood all the customs of the land, you know. And look what he says. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you serve with me still another 7 years. And then Jacob did so, fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel, his wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Now, old Laban, 14 years of free labor, okay? Smart man? Yes. Look back at verse 25 just for a moment. I want us to see something. So it came to pass when? in the morning that, behold, it was Leah and not Rachel who he had married. Now listen, this could not have happened unless Leah was in agreement. Do you see what I'm getting at? I started thinking about this. I mean, I wonder if Laban went into Leah and says, now listen, I want you to put on Rachel's clothing. I want you to fix your hair like hers. Put on the same perfume and do something with those eyes. You know what I mean? What? Does that sound like what Jacob and his mother did? Exactly. And I wonder if Jacob said when he went into Leah that night, because it was dark, he didn't know who it was. And he goes in there and he goes, oh, you feel like Rachel? Oh, yes, you smell like Rachel. But do you have a cold? Because your voice is that of Leah. You know what I mean? And so we look at this and I go, whoa. And he said, then Jacob also went into Rachel and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. Just like Rebekah loved Jacob and like Isaac loved Esau. You see what God is doing here. And he says, and he served with Laban still another 7 years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was literally, it says unloved, but it means hated. When he saw that Leah, God knows everything, doesn't he? Saw that she was unloved. Look what God did. He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And so Leah, the one that no one wanted, he didn't want, he didn't love, all right? It says, so Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. Reuben means see a son. That's what the name Reuben means. And she said, the Lord has surely looked upon my affliction. Now look at this sad verse. Now therefore my husband will love me. I like Leah, personally. I really do like Leah. And, you know, I think Leah was a special woman. And she's right here is the first one to even call on God. You understand? She's calling on God because she said, surely the Lord has looked on my affliction. And so she's the first one to even recognize God in all this. She just wants to be loved. She just wants her husband to love her. She didn't ask for any of this. And then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I'm unloved, he has therefore given me this son also, and she called his name Simeon, or hearing. God has heard me. She conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time, oh, my husband, he will become attached to me. Isn't that sad? In other words, he'll come and really treat me right. He'll live with me. He'll love me because I've borne him 3 sons. Therefore, his name was called Levi. That means attached or joined to the Lord. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. She's the only one doing anything with God. Have you noticed that? Praising the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah. Remember, Judah means praise. Then she stopped bearing. There's a whole lot of activity going on, folks. And you know, I look at this and listen, 2 of the most important Old Testament institutions have their beginnings in this unwanted marriage, okay? And the first one, of course, is Judah. From Judah comes the kingly line. You know, King David came from there. And of course, our Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then from Levi will come the priesthood. So Leah, now in her heart, she's understanding that no matter how many kids that she has, it's just Jacob's just not going to love her the right way. And he says, and now in chapter 30, he says, now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, look what Rachel did. She envied her sister and said to Jacob, give me children or else I die. And Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel. And he said, am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? I mean, like I would have said, listen, you want some kids? Go play with your sister's children. You know what I mean? She's got all the kids. In other words, he was saying, it's not my fault. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm not God. God is the one who does all these things. And so you notice that Rachel's not glorifying God. She's not even in prayer. So what she does is she resorts to what? Human wisdom, just like so many do today. She says, I'm going to make things happen my own way. And so she said to Jacob, here is my maid, Bilhah. Now, the word Bilhah, her maid, means trouble, okay? And he says, I want you to go into her. She will bear a child on my knees, that I may also have children by her. Now, what is the main reason? Why does Rachel really want children now? Because she's jealous of her sister. She's envious. Isn't that one big happy family? How'd you like to be a part of that family, man? And you know what? She envies her so much, she says, you know, I'm going to bring another woman into the situation here, my maid. And it says, and then she gave Bilhah, her maid, his wife. Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, God has judged my case. Now she got God involved in it. God has judged my case, and he has also heard my voice and given me a son. Therefore she called, not Bilhah, but Rachel, she called his name Dan. In other words, Dan means vindicated. I'm vindicated because of my sister now. And Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, with great wrestlings I have wrestled with, here it is, my sister, not with God, but with my sister, and indeed I've prevailed. Boy, I've got it over on her now. So she called his name Naphtali, which means my struggle or wrestling. So you would think that everything would be okay in this dysfunctional family by now, right? But it's certainly not. Leah is now determined. She sees what's happening. Look what she does. And when Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid. Now, the word Zilpah means trickle or maybe tricksy, okay? And her maid, and gave her to Jacob, his wife. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a son. And then Leah said, a troop comes. So she called his name Gad, or troop. And then Leah's maid, Zilpah, bore a second son. And then Leah said, I am happy. Well, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? I mean, after, you know, we're covering all this time. I mean, we're talking about years now that these things are happening. And finally, somebody is happy, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher, which means happy. Of course, after happy came grumpy and sleepy and sneezy and dopey and doc. You guys are too stiff tonight. You need to lighten up. Amen. Listen, God is allowing Jacob to suffer. His family is so full of backbiting, and he's reaping all that he's sown, and now it's going to get worse. A little four-year-old boy, about 4 years old, named Reuben, who is the firstborn. Look what happens here. And now Reuben went in the days of the wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. So it's the harvest time, and little Reuben, he's just a 4 or 5 year old boy. He goes out there and he starts picking flowers or plants, if you will, with little berries in there, colorful little yellow berries and so forth. And he brings home a bouquet to his mother. And just innocent and so forth. And a mandrake, remember, literally they were called love apples, okay? And what they were supposed to do, they were believed to excite passion and promote fruitfulness, if you will, okay? And so, you know, kind of like Chanel number 5, or you guys are not happy tonight, are you? Or how about love potion number 9? I mean, I'm sure you remember, you know, I took all my troubles down to Madame Rue. Never mind. You have to be born when I was born to know that song, okay? So it says, I'm sorry, I took a Sudafed before I preached tonight so I could breathe, okay? And so, you know, you take a Sudafed, anything can happen. And, you know, I might not even be able to find my way home tonight after taking that. And then Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes, this love potion number 9. But she said to her, oh, is it a small matter that you've taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also? And look what Rachel said. Rachel said, therefore, he will lie with you tonight for your son's mandrakes. I'm telling you, this is a happy family, isn't it? I mean, listen, this is actually in the Bible. I will sell my husband to you for one night for the love potion number 9. That's what she's saying. And so this is how much Rachel wanted another child. The competition here among sisters that they were bartering for sexual favors is unbelievable. And when Jacob came out of the field in the evening, he was worn out, he was tired, he was sweaty, he was ready for supper. And Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come into me, for I have surely hired you with my son's mandrakes." And he called Minrith Meyer Clinic immediately. No. And he lay with her that night, and God listened to Leah. God listened to Leah. God didn't listen to Rachel and her mandrakes, her love potion number 9. He didn't listen to her at all. And look, and Leah, she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. And Leah said, "God has given me my wages because I have given my maid to my husband." So she called his name Issachar, which means wages. Now, how would you like to grow up with that name? You tell your children, "Daddy, how'd you get that name? Who named you that? And what is it?" You know? And Leah conceived again, bore a sixth son. And Leah said, "God has endowed me with a good endowment or a great reward. Now my husband will dwell with me." You know, Leah really loved Jacob, loved him. "Now he'll come home to me. Now he'll dwell with me because I've borne him 6 sons." So she called his name Zebulun, which means to dwell with or a reward. And afterwards she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. Now Dinah means, that's the only daughter, by the way, it means judgment. The root word there in Hebrew, we get our word strife. And then God remembered Rachel. And look why God remembered her. And God listened to her and opened her womb. See, the ways of the world fail. The mandrakes, the love potion number 9, in other words, it didn't work. And finally, she cried out to the Lord and said, "Lord, I want a child. I want a baby." And so God heard her prayer. And she conceived, it says, and bore a son and said, "God has taken away my reproach. I'm no longer going to be disgraced. I finally have a child." And so she called his name Joseph. And we know the story of Joseph. Joseph, that word means may he add, or God adds, and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." And later, of course, God did add to her another son. She's going to die in childbirth, you remember? And the last son will be called Benjamin, the son of my right hand. And so, and it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away." Listen, and that's exactly what I would be saying. Amen? I want out of this whole mess. "Send me away that I may go to my own place and to my own country." So Leah had 6 boys and 1 girl. Rachel, let me read it, had 1 boy and 1 comes later. Bilhah, Rachel's maid, had 2 boys. Zilpha, Leah's maid, had 2 boys. Amazing that this is all in the Word of God, isn't it? And you know, I know people, they don't teach part of this. They just read it real quick, but there's a lot there. Every word of God is precious. Amen? God is doing something. And you know, God is creating the 12 tribes of Israel, isn't he? Right there in our midst. And oh, the book of Genesis from here on out is already good, but it's going to get better and better.